Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on, somebody, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow. So good. I saw some hugs. I saw some tears. That's awesome. That's so good. We just love you guys so much. Give somebody a high five, a handshake, a hug. Tell somebody they're looking good before you have a seat tonight, and then you can be seated right afterwards. And while they're greeting one another here in the house, I want to greet those of you that are joining us online, wherever you're at, across the nation and around the world. I know God's going to do some great things in your life tonight. I want to encourage you, if you're in the area and you're just checking us out, what are you doing staying home? Come on out. Join us in person. We've got a great seat saved just for you. We'd love to encourage you in your walk with God. Also, you know, I want to encourage you to stay with us all the way through to the end of the church service, because great things are going to happen all the way through. Well, this time I'd like to welcome anybody who's here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center for the very first time. If it's your first time, I want to say hi. I want to tell you that we love you a whole lot. Also, we have a little brochure. We'd love to get into your hands, but we can't get it to you until we know where you're at. So that's you. Just lift up your hand and let us welcome you and hand you one of these brochures right now. Hey, welcome over there. Glad to have you with us. On this side, yeah, welcome you guys. Okay. Hey, on this side, anybody here for the first time? All right. Welcome you guys. Welcome back there. Glad that you came today. All right, way up on top. All right, hey, let's keep it going for them. There's some more people here. Welcome, welcome you guys. Anybody else? Yeah, welcome up over there. We're so glad that you guys would join us. We know there's a lot of great options for churches here in the Inland Empire. We're blessed to be one of them, and I'm a little biased about this place. I love this place. Great church. Great things are happening, and there's a great way for you to get involved. And so check out that brochure, see what's going on. As well, I want to mention there is a little general information card for you to fill out. You can tear that off and either drop that in the offering bucket later on in the church service as it goes by, or the better of the options, take it to the left-hand side of the foyer as you exit. There's a CD counter that's there. The welcome area is on the weekends, but CD counter over there. And if you drop that card off, they might have a little gift bag and a free copy of tonight's message for you. And some of our wonderful volunteers would love to greet you over there and say hi. And as well, we can answer any questions you have. Additionally, the information center out there in the center of the foyer as you exit has different brochures, different ministry items. You can ask questions and find out more about the church. Thanks for joining us tonight. Can we give them one more great big warm welcome? Glad that you guys came. Well, tonight is Wednesday night. This is our time that we get into the Word of God. We study the Word. It's a midweek refresh, refuel, get you charged up so you can continue to get over the hump. Wednesday, to a lot of people, is just hump day. Well, listen, we're going to get into the Word of God and get over the hump, but not just get over it. You know what I mean? We're gonna blast through this because God wants you strong and healthy. I believe tonight's Word is going to be that for you. So would you get your Bibles in hand? And if you want to stand, stand. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to sit, whatever you want to do, just get your heart prepared to hear from the word of the Lord tonight. And let's pray together as we prepare to receive God's word for our lives. Father, we're so grateful tonight as we come into your presence, Lord. Thank you, God, as we've already prayed, Lord, that you're already doing great and mighty things among us. God, don't stop. Lord, we want you to come and speak to our hearts. Give us your wisdom, your instruction, your direction, even the correction we need for our lives. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. God, we would ask that your Holy Spirit would come and teach us, lead us, guide us. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your instruction, your direction, God. Lord, even correction where we need correction, God, get us back on track with the things of God. Lord, we'll do our part, giving you our interest and our attention. We know you'll do your part, opening our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to have a good understanding. Lord, we choose to receive the implanted word of God, which is able to save our souls. We receive it with meekness. Lord, we're readily submitted to what you would have us to do. Father, we don't just ask these blessings on ourselves. We'd ask it on all the churches, both here in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet, that are both preaching and hearing the gospel. Lord, we would ask that you would watch over them, bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, that your presence be with them as you are with us. May your spirit be moving in the church, Lord, worldwide. God, watch over our persecuted brothers and sisters scattered abroad throughout the nations. Lord, we ask that you protect them and strengthen them, deliver them, Lord. May they endure to the end, to the glory of God. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we're all in agreement, and we say, amen. Tonight, have a seat and get your Bibles out. Go with me to the book of James. We're going to launch from the book of James, the third chapter. James chapter number 3. I had mentioned a little bit ago that I had gone on vacation this past week. I did something for the very first time that I had never done before in my life. In fact, much to the surprise of my wife. My wife, growing up, had horses and I loved riding horses and that sort of a thing. And so here we are up in the mountains, and they have these pack outfits, and you can take a ride on horses. And so we've gone back and forth with the family a couple times talking about, what do you guys want to do? Do you want to go on a hike? And, you know, kids wanted to go fishing, and that is a story all in itself. I'm sure there will be multiple sermon illustrations from that fishing trip, because from the moment we opened up the tackle box to the moment we threw the broken rod and reel in the back of the car, it was a disaster, but we did get a fish out of it, and I did eat it, thank the Lord. But I had never ridden a horse before in my life, and so my wife was so surprised, and so I kept saying, you know, it's just not something that I ever wanted to do, not something I ever thought would be fun or, you know, ever desired. I like horses. I have nothing against horses. I really liked Mr. Ed growing up and all that kind of a thing. But just never thought about riding one myself. You know, cowboys and Indians were great and all that kind of stuff. And just never wanted to get on one myself. And so my daughter really wanted to ride a horse. And so she was asking about doing it. And so finally we picked a pack outfit one day, and, you know, the family was doing some other stuff. And so I said, hey, listen, our family, we're going to go do this, the five of us, all right? And in fact, I got a picture up on the overhead. This is actually Pastor Deborah's brother's horse. This is on his ranch. And so that's one of his horses there. Just beautiful being there. But that was not where we rode the horse. We rode him in a different spot, okay? So I just like the picture of this horse. So anyways, here we are, and we get out on the trail. And, you know, these horses on the trail, you're not really doing too much. You know what I mean? They're kind of just in the groove of following the butt of the horse in front of them, you know. And it was funny just because, you know, every now and then I'd pull a little to the side just to see, you know what I mean, just to see if the horse would really listen to me. And he did. It was pretty awesome. I had a great horse. His name was Keith. We got to be good friends on the trail there, and we were out there for about an hour. My butt still hurts. But we had a good time. Now, my daughter, she had a horse that apparently loved to snack. Now, my horse, Keith, he was cool. You know what I mean? He would snack on the way. He was kind of like some of us that you could be walking by a bowl of chips and just grab some and eat while you're going. But my daughter, her horse, his name was Jupiter. And Jupiter had to stop and eat. You know what I mean? Jupiter was the type that had to get in the bowl of chips and get the dip and just stand there. You know what I mean? So he was just eating grass. Now, the instructor that went out with us, a little 19-year-old girl, and she was from Eastern Oregon. She told us her whole life story out there on the trail. My wife was asking her all about it. But she had given us some instruction while we were out there. She said, the horses, they get fed really good. Okay, so they don't need to eat while we're out there on the trail. So if they stop and they start eating, here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab the reins, and I want you to pull straight up on the reins, and I want you to give them a big kick in the side. Now, she said these words. She said, don't worry. Your little feet are not going to hurt that 1,500-pound muscular animal. That was her exact words. Your little feet are not going to hurt, so don't be afraid that you're kicking him too hard. He's just going to feel the kick and move on. You know what I mean? And so here we are, and sure enough, Jupiter in front of Keith, it would just stop. Now, Keith was cool because he was eating on the way, so he wanted to keep going. So he would give Jupiter a little nudge with his nose like this, right? He'd kind of start pushing him. And after a while, I was cheering him on. You go, Keith. Get him, Keith. Push Jupiter. Keith, get Jupiter going. Come on, Keith. And so here my daughter Chloe is, and she's up on this horse, and so here she is pulling the reins up, giving the horse a kick, and wouldn't you know it, the horse would start to go. Now, the Word of God tells us about this principle in James, the third chapter. And tonight I want to talk to you about a subject called changing our confession. Changing our confession. James chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse number 2, and I'm going to read through verse number 10. James chapter 3, verse number 2 says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. There is a principle in the Word of God that we can direct our lives with the Word of God and with the words of our mouth. It all has to do with our tongues. Now, we're going to see this as we read through the verses, but I want to just lay down this foundation for where we're going tonight. Because how many of you have ever desired a change in your life? Let me see your hands. Anybody ever desired to change something about your life? Okay, that's pretty much all of us. The rest of you guys, you need to wake up because I know that you have wanted to change something. Right? There's all of us. There's been something in our life we wanted to change. I'm getting too heavy. I need to change the way I eat. I'm getting too lazy. I need to change how much exercise I get. I'm getting mentally just kind of sour, and I need to change where I'm thinking, and I need to start to stimulate my mind. I've been lax on the things of God. I need to change how much church and how much Bible and how much prayer and that sort. We've all wanted to do things in life. Now, the Bible says that if we can harness the power of our mouths, that we can actually not stumble, that we can actually be perfect. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? But we know that we all stumble in many things. We're going to trip up. But if we can learn the principle of using our mouth to direct our bodies, our lives, then we can get better and we can bring about the change that each and every one of us want for our lives. Are you listening tonight? Let's take a look at verse number three. Look at what verse number three says. It says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole 1,500-pound muscular body. That's my translation right there, okay? Isn't that amazing? That a little 13-year-old girl with two little pieces of leather and a little kick on the backside can get a 1,500-pound horse going, all because it had something in its mouth called a bit. Now, that bit is just a little round piece of metal that as you pull it, it goes through the teeth of the horse, and they can feel it pulling them, and it gives them just enough discomfort, just enough pain to where they move that direction. They've been trained. We put bits in the horse's mouth, 1,500-pound animals, muscular, majestic animals that God created, and yet a little 13-year-old girl. In fact, my 8-year-old boy was doing the same thing because his horse got off trail a couple times and he was able to just pull that horse right back on the trail. Little 8-year-old boy can do it. Verse number four, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Who's piloting your life? Is it you? Is it the devil? Is it the people around you? Is it what you've been taught in school? Is it what you heard on the news? Who's piloting your life? You can tell the direction you're going based on what you're saying, because it'll be turned in the direction of what's coming out of your life. We're going to see this more and more as we go through. You can turn a massive ship. Think about an oil tanker for a second. Massive oil tanker, right? Tens of thousands of pounds on every box that's loaded onto them. And yet they can turn that thing all by a little rudder in the back. Wherever the pilot desires, they can turn that entire ship. See, it's no different with our lives. Whatever course you want to set, you can set it right here with your mouth. Let's continue to read on. Look at this. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Don't we know that in California, right? Little match, a little spark from a campfire, little dewdrop that the sun is shining through, little teeny tiny piece of dead old wood or something like that lights on fire, lightning strikes somewhere, and all of a sudden, you've got wildfires running across the land. Now look at this, in verse number 6, it goes on to say, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Now that's a pretty scary statement when you think about it, but I think all of us can remember a time in our life where we said something stupid, where we said the wrong thing, and all of a sudden, right, here comes a wildfire. We shared something we shouldn't have shared, burned up a relationship, right? Said the wrong thing at the wrong time, you're fired, literally, right? The pink slip comes, right? Because you said the wrong thing. You messed up with your tongue. And it says, indeed, it's set on fire by hell. The devil knows if he can get you to say the wrong thing, he could start a wildfire. Look at what it goes on in the next verse. It says, in verse number 7, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. People are making a lot of money off of all of us spending hundreds of dollars to get into amusement parks where we can see animals that have been tamed, right? go and see a dolphin do a triple backflip, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter if it's on land, doesn't matter if it's in the sea. You can go see the different shows, right? They've got these talent shows on television. People are taming cats, right? Actually literally herding cats, getting them to do things. It's amazing. Every animal has been tamed. People buy tickets to go see the circus where elephants and tigers and lions and bears, oh my, right? They're all getting tamed. And yet, look at what it says about our tongue. It says, all of these have been tamed. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, at this point, we could all give up, right? Because we said, well, wait a second. The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. Then why even try? I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do, say whatever I want to say. It is what it is, right? Well, wrong. It is not whatever it is. It is whatever God says it is. Because either you can try and pilot your life, but no man can tame the tongue. The devil can try and pilot your life, and he's going to try. Or you can allow the Holy Spirit to pilot your tongue, and he can tame it. Now, at age 15, when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, the day before, I was cussing like a sailor. That was just how we did, right? Me and all my friends, teenagers, teenage boys doing teenage things, right? And here we are. We thought the F word was funny. Everything was this and that and the other, and every third word was a cuss word. I gave my heart and life to Jesus. I got saved. And from that moment on till now, I could probably count on my fingers and toes how many times I have cussed since I've gotten saved over 20 years ago. See, the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. And by the way, I've been cussing more and more since I got into this. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. They just love those words. Tell me it's the Christian cuss word and stuff. Just wrong. Just wrong. You need the Holy Spirit. I'm kidding. But look at what it goes on to say. I'm going to pay for that later, by the way. Look at what it goes on to say. No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Verse number 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. See, even though no man can tame the tongue, the Holy Spirit can tame our tongue. The Holy Spirit is the helper. He is the counselor. He is the one who Jesus told the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to say beforehand. The Holy Spirit's going to take over your tongue, and he's going to give you the words to speak. See, we don't have to worry about our confession. We can change our confession by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can either direct our lives to destruction, to hellfire, to damnation, to setting things ablaze here on the earth and burning up relationships, burning up time, burning up our resources, or we can start to bless. We can bless God, the Creator. We can bless man with our words. We can bless others. We can speak life into situations. We can speak growth and strength and health into others, into ourselves. See, we need to change our confession. When people hear the voice of a Christian, it should be a sweet thing to them and not a sour, bitter thing to them. Many times I've heard testimony of people who say, man, you guys are no different than the rest of the world. In fact, you guys are bigger complainers than the rest of the world. And I agree with James, my brother, and these things ought not to be so. People ought to want to and desire to be around Christians because, man, every time I get around you, all you have is a good thing to say. See, in our society, pessimism and cynicism has been made popular. And it may be all good for a laugh on a television sitcom, maybe good for a laugh on a meme or something like that, and yet that has permeated our thinking and it's gotten into our tongues, and we have literally ruined witnesses, we have pushed people away, and we've hindered our blessings. All because of what's come out of our mouth, and we need to change our confession. Is anybody in agreement tonight? Let's change our confession together, amen? In order to change our confession, some things need to happen. Some things need to happen for us. And I'm going to give you some practical things tonight. I'm going to give you some very spiritual things tonight. But I believe that as we apply these things to our lives, that we're going to change our confession. And because we change our confession, rather than having the hellfire and the damnation, oh my goodness, it's going to be blessing, it's going to be life, it's going to be health, it's going to be strength. First thing is this tonight, in order to change our confession, number one, it has to come from our hearts. It has to come from our hearts. If this was just empty words, it's not going to do a thing. Sometimes people think when they start to get a hold of a message about the tongue and a message about words, they think that they can just kind of parrot whatever the preacher said, and that that's going to be like, you know, the get out of whatever problem I'm in free card. And they just start to confess the scriptures, and they just say it blankly and mindlessly, and they don't have any heart behind it. And really, you know, they're not really looking for a change. Listen, if your heart is not in it, God's not in it. Let me say that again. If your heart is not in it, God is not in it. God wants you to sink your whole heart into this thing. God wants your whole investment in this thing. Here's the question for all of us. How much do you really want the change? Because if it's just you do it for me, preacher, it's not going to work, you walking out of here saying all the right things, and yet the heart isn't in it. God is looking at your heart. That's why Jesus said, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. God is not just looking for us to say the right formulas, the right magical abracadabra words. God wants to see your heart and your mouth, your tongue line up together. Let's take a look at it in the Word in the book of Luke. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to take a look at verse number 45. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter number 6, Luke chapter 6. And I want to take a look at verse number 45. Jesus is talking about what's being produced from a person's life. Starts to talk about how a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. What comes out of us is fruit. That's our actions. That's also our words. Verse number 45, look at what it says. A good man, out of the good treasure of his, what's that word right there? Out of his heart, brings forth good. See, if you are a good person, if you've got God on the inside of you, then God's going to come out of you. If you really desire the good things that you find in God's word, if you really want the things of God, if you really want the change, then out of the good that's inside of you, good's going to come out of you. Look at this. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his, what's that word again? Heart brings forth evil. If you really don't want this, if you really don't want the things of God, you may have the right words to say, but your true character will be revealed by the fruit that comes out of you. Look at what he ends it with. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You will know whether or not somebody is a Christian. You will know what somebody really wants by what comes out of their mouth. Do you really want the change? If you really want to change your confession, it has to start in the heart. It has to be a heartfelt desire. It has to be something that's on the inside of you. Because if it's not on the inside of you, if you're not invested with it in your heart first, then God's not going to invest in it. How do I know that? Because there are tons of examples all throughout the Word and all throughout history and all throughout present day. We could tell you story after story of people who come in, they're crying, their wife's about ready to leave them. They really want the marriage. Pastor, I really want the marriage to stay. You really want this? I really want this. Okay, then let's start to change. You got to start to change the way that you treat your spouse. And yet, what comes out of them after they leave the room, they're fighting on the way to the car. I used to have an office over here on the corner. I'd watch people fight all the way to their car. I'd shake my head and I'd say, when they make their next appointment, I'm going to read them the right act. Don't come in and smile at me, Pastor. Everything's good. No, it's not. Do you really want this? How much is going on the inside of your heart? You have to have the investment of your heart first, because God sees past the exterior shell things. God is not just, I really want to lose weight. Okay, how much do you really want it? I really want to stop smoking. How much do you really want it? I really want the change. I really want to do better. How much do you really want it? What's going on beneath the surface? What's going on behind the lip service? What is taking place in the recesses of your heart? And if it's not what you know that God wants for your life, then it's time to open up your heart to the Father and say, God, I need you to change my desires. I need you to do some heart surgery right now. God, I need my desires to line up with your desires, God, because I know that there's a change that needs to happen. And God, that can't happen unless the heart's in it. And right now, God, let me just expose the heart. Lord, I need some work right here. See, it wasn't until I started to have those real raw conversations with God that change started to happen in my own life. To be the man that I needed to be the husband and the father that I needed to be. Because it's easier to detach. It's easier just to skate through life. It's easier to accept okay. And yet God doesn't want us to live okay. My God is a God of exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could even ask or even think. You think my God died on the cross so that we could be okay? That's not my God. My God is a God who came to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And therefore, God says, come on, get your heart into this. It's the first thing that needs to happen if we're going to change our confession. Second thing is this, is that vain repetitions don't work. You got to get a hold of this. This goes just hand in hand with what I was just saying about the heart. Vain repetitions do not work. Now, don't get me wrong on this. Every day, I speak a ton of scriptures over myself, over my family, over you, over this church. I confess those scriptures, but my heart is in it. And it's not about vain repetitions, okay? There are people who have thought that if they repeat a phrase enough times that it's going to change something. Again, your heart's not in it. It's not going to work. And if it's vain repetition just for the sense that maybe if I say it 100 times, it'll work. Listen, all it takes is once with the power of God. Well, I did it once and it didn't work. Do I do it again? Sure. Is your heart in it? Are you actually declaring it? Is there faith behind it? Because one time with faith is more than enough. But if it takes you 100 times to get to faith, do it 100 times. But don't let it be vain repetitions, thinking that the repetition is what's going to make it happen. No, put your faith and hope in God who's going to make it happen. Right? I'm walking a tightrope on purpose because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's okay to talk yourself into faith, to speak. What do I mean by that? To speak the word enough until you finally get it, to repeat the scripture in your own hearing so that you're building faith. That's okay, all right? But if all it is empty, brainless, mindless, heartless repetition, just thinking that the repetition is going to do anything, there's nothing in that. We see this when Jesus was talking about prayer in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 6. In Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus is speaking his famous Sermon on the Mount. Verse number 7, he comes along and he says this. He says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Listen, one word with God is enough. One heartfelt prayer with God is enough. The Bible even talks about a spirit-filled groan where you don't even got a word. All you got is a mmm. That's all you got. That's enough. Holy Spirit says, Lord, they just said they need healing. They need emotional stability. They need a job. They need a spouse. That Holy Spirit will translate that groan, right? He speaks mmm. It's not about the vain repetitions. See, the pagans, and you even know this in our pop culture, right? People start going into a trance and they start to chant and they say the same thing over and over again. And the more they say it, the louder they get, right? And the louder they get, the scarier it feels, right? Because that's where the power is. No, there's nothing in that. That's vain repetitions. This is not by his stripes I'm healed, 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 by his stripes I'm healed. It doesn't work. But when you start to get a hold of the word of God and when faith drops in, when your heart's in it and it's not a vain repetition, but by his stripes, I'm healed. Wait, I get it. By his stripes, I'm healed. See, the repetition is not where the power is. It's the word of God and the faith that you're putting behind the word of God where the power is. All right, listen, we need to change our confession. Don't let it be empty. Don't let it be heartless. Don't let it be vain. Number three is this, in order to change our confession, wisdom is applied to our tongue. Now, I know this is kind of a funny statement, all right? But you have to understand what this really means. Jesus Christ has become our wisdom. The Spirit of God has been given to us, and he is the Spirit of wisdom. And when we start to change our confession, wisdom is applied to our tongue. See, no man can tame the tongue, but the Spirit can. Oftentimes when I pray for people or when we have a move of the Spirit here at this church, like we did in recent weeks, we've had healing evangelists come through and pray for people. And I'll be greeting at the back door on the weekends. And there at the back door, someone will say, "Hey, I got prayed for today." That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, but my bad knee. Okay, your bad knee. You just claimed this is my bad knee. Rather than saying what God says, rather than claiming the promise, "Hey, but I got prayed for and I'm going to get healed." Now, that doesn't mean that you deny symptoms and the facts and all that kind of stuff. Facts are facts, right? They're very real. The pain is real. You don't have to say, sometimes you ask people, "Are you hurting?" You know, and they're like, "No, I'm good." Can't even stand up to lay down on the floor because they're in a back spasm, right? And doing the funky chicken on the ground. And, "Are you all right?" I'm great. Perfect. Never been better. Listen, don't lie. I'm in the worst pain of my entire life right now, but I got prayed for and I'm getting healed, right? That's our confession. Now that doesn't mean we're liars, right? The Bible says speak the truth. Tell the truth. But the truth is not the facts. We got to understand the difference because wisdom has to be applied to our tongue. Facts are facts. We don't deny the facts. We don't, you know, like if you're sick, "Yeah, I'm sick." That's okay. You're not out of faith if you say you're sick. But your confession, apply the wisdom of God. "By his stripes I was healed. I'm getting better every day. This cancer is leaving my body in the name of Jesus." Right? The relationship is getting mended in Jesus' name. It's time to start to change the confession. They may be estranged right now, but start to change your confession. God is working on this situation behind the scenes. Are you laid off? "Yes, I'm laid off, but God's going to get me a great job soon. I'm applying to different places, and God's working on my behalf." See, it's time to start to change our confession. I hear people claiming things. "I've been poor my whole life. My parents have been poor. My grandparents were poor. We're always going to be poor." Well, yes, you are if you continue to steer the ship that direction. If you continue to turn the horse that direction, yeah, you can be that way. Or you can say, "You know what? I may not have a lot right now, but God is prospering me as my soul prospers. I'm learning how to do this thing called business. I'm learning how to work hard. Yeah, my family may have had a history of laziness, but I'm not lazy. I've got the Spirit of God working on the inside of me, and God's training me up to be a mighty worker for his kingdom. I'm going to work unto the Lord. God's going to give me favor." I mean, we need to start to speak those things that be not as if they were. Wisdom has to be applied to our tongue. Let me give you a couple scriptures, a couple quick scriptures. Okay, I'm going to race through these. Maybe just jot them down so you can meditate on them later. Maybe you want to speak these things over yourself. Start to turn the horse. Hello. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. "There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." That's a good one, isn't it? Proverbs 15, 23, "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." I like that, how good it is. Isn't that great? Some of you guys have been depressed, downcast, discouraged. You've been asked, "Hey, how are you doing today?" That's the worst question you can ask somebody, by the way. "How are you doing today?" "Oh, gosh." And you're like, "Why did I ask? I should have just said good to see you and moved on with my life." Some people, you ask them, "Hey, how's it going? How you been?" "Well, you know, dang it. You're searching for a reason. Can I act like my phone's ringing or something right now? I can't lie. Dang it. Okay. Bring it on. Go ahead and vomit on me right now. I'm ready." Right? But look at what it says. Let's put the verse back up. Look at what it says. Proverbs chapter 15, 23. "A man has what by the answer of his mouth?" One person in this place knows what we're talking about tonight. A man has what by the answer of his mouth? Let's try that again. A man has what by the answer of his mouth? Last time. A man has what by the answer of his mouth? Joy. Put a smile on your face. It may not be a good day, but God, with God, it's always a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Listen, I'm not going in the strength of the world, of a bank account, of anything around me. I don't care what legislation is going on. I don't care who's sitting in a seat of authority in the White House, in our Senate, in the governor. I don't care none of that. Jesus is on the throne. I will rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You can have joy by the answer of your mouth, but you got to steer the ship. Some of you guys have been depressed too long. It's time to start changing your confession. Time to start speaking life. Time to start speaking joy. Time to start speaking health. My goodness, people see Christians look like they've been sucking on lemons. They say, I don't want to have any part of that church. Right? Why? Because every beer commercial makes you want to go and drink that beer because somehow, some way, you're going to be transported to this island. There's going to be beautiful people everywhere. No one's sweating. Everybody looks great. Every hair is in place, and it's going to be a barbecue and a party all night, right? That's where they want to be. Why? Because they're smiling. Maybe you never knew this, but you can do smile evangelism. All you got to do is smile and listen. They may want to know what's going on. They may want that joy, or they may wonder what's wrong with you. Either way, it's a whole lot of fun. Hallelujah. One more. One more. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Remember, we talked about that tongue is lit on fire by hell, and a little spark can start a whole forest fire. And we know the pain of saying the wrong thing. We know the pain of not shutting up at the right time. Sometimes what not to say is more important than what to say. Hello. Sometimes when to say is more important than what to say, because they may not have ears to hear at the time that you're ready to speak it. And so we got to guard our mouth. Why? Because it will keep your soul from troubles. Last thing is this. Number four, if we're going to change our confession, say what God says. Say what God says. This is the easiest, most basic, most wonderful principle I'm going to teach you guys tonight. Because if you can just train your mouth to say what God says, it will change the world that you live in. And you will receive the change that you're looking for in your life. If you can just train yourself to get into the Word of God, get the Word of God deep on the inside of your heart, get passionate about the Word of God, and don't let it be vain repetitions, but apply wisdom to your mouth and start to say what God says, it's going to change your life. This is what changed my life. This is what brought about the things in my life that I wanted. When I didn't have the wisdom I needed, I started to speak. I've got the mind of the learned. I've got more wisdom than my teachers. I have the wisdom of God and the mind of Christ. At a young age, I started to ask God, God, give me the wisdom that I need for my life. And I started to speak what God says. You know, I'm not a very good prayer person. And so when I pray a whole lot of scriptures. It has changed the world that I live in. If I can find a scripture, then I can believe God for it. I can stand on it. I can declare it. I can confess it. And guess what? I can receive it. If you can start to say what God says. If your marriage is falling apart, if you can start to speak that I love that woman like Christ loved the church, that I submit to that man as the church is subject to Christ in all things, it will change the marriage that you live in. If you can start to speak over your children life and light and encouragement and blessing, we need to bless our children, not curse them, not speak down. Remember, you're steering the ship. You're nothing. You'll never be anything. You know what? That's so stupid. Who do you think you are? I don't have time for this. You can steer the ship and you can crush that little child. Or you can start to declare, you know what? What you did was stupid, okay? Remember, we're not liars. All the parents said, amen, Pastor, thank you. That's not smart, but you're smarter than that. You're able. Listen, you may have messed up right now, but you're not going to do this again in the future because you're learning the lesson. This is good for you to learn this. I had to learn this at a young age. Listen, let's learn this together, right? If you blow your top, come to them and repent and tell them, I messed up. I'm sorry I shouted. Hey, listen, let's learn this together. We're going to change our confession together. Start to speak things. Ask my wife, ask my kids. In our family, I'll let them go for a little while, right? And the first thing is always this. Oh, that was so stupid. Okay, I'll agree with that. That was pretty stupid, right? But the next thing is this. Then the confession starts to change. I'm so stupid for doing that. Yeah. Okay. But then the confession changes to this. This is the progression. Watch this. Because we, in our flesh, it always goes down. Here's the next confession. I'm so stupid. Not for doing that. Just I'm stupid in general. And that's where I say, I'm going to stop you right there. You're not stupid. You're smart. You've got the wisdom of God. We all stumble in many things, but listen, if we can change our confession, listen, you're not stupid. Let's start to declare we're not going to do this again. Let's start to declare I'm learning, I'm growing in the things of God. I'm not going to make the same mistakes I made yesterday. I'm growing and I'm doing new things with God. I'm on the up and up. I'm going higher with God. I'm coming up to new levels. I'm not plateauing. I'm not backing down. I won't quit. I'm going on with Jesus Christ. He's taking me higher. That's our confession. See, in the natural, it would be easy for us to go down and down. But look at this. John chapter 6, verse number 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words, this is Jesus speaking. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. When you start to declare the word of God, you are applying the Spirit of God and you are applying the life that God gives. Now remember, Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. God doesn't want you to just live okay. God wants you to grow in grace, in godliness, in prosperity, in health, in strength, in wisdom, in all things. God wants your life to be blessed. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have any problems. Of course you will. But if you can change your confession, you can go through those problems in a perfect way because the word of the Lord is perfect. Isn't that amazing? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its what? Fruit. A good man out of the goodness of his heart brings forth good things. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. What comes out of you is the fruit of your life. Christians, we need to change our confession. We need to speak life over our families, over our marriages, over our businesses, over our community. That's why I get so irritated when I hear people talk bad about the Inland Empire. This is not the armpit of Southern California. This is not the place where people go to lose hope. This is the revival center of the United States and the world. This is a place where there are people who are loved by God. This is a place with more resources and greatness ahead of it. This is a place where the goodness of God is being displayed. This is the plan of God. The Inland Empire is a place that God loves and that God is blessing and that is growing. This is going to be a place where businesses are desiring to come to. This is a place where people are going to move to because they're going to hear that God is in this place. See, we need to start to change our confession. San Bernardino is not running down the toilet. It is climbing up out of the ashes. Come on, somebody. Do you agree? We got to speak life. Our neighborhoods are not going to the gangs. The gangs are going to come and fall down at the feet of Jesus. Come on, it's time to take territory. You want to start a wildfire? Start it with your tongue. Start to put a wildfire in the kingdom of darkness. We're going to light up the kingdom of darkness with the words of our mouth, with our confession. Tonight, just I want you to take a moment. What is God speaking to you through this message? Just take a moment and ask yourself that question. What's God speaking to me right here? Right now, through all this message, I've talked about health, I've talked about relationships, I've talked about marriage, I've talked about business, talked about parenting. What's God speaking to you personally? Just take a moment and ask yourself that question. What's God talking to you about? Does God have his finger on something? Is there an issue? God's pointing out, hey, this right here. What is God speaking to you? Follow-up question, what has your confession been that God's speaking to you about? What has your confession been? Has it been the wrong confession? And if it has, what should your confession be? If you don't know, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. He'll just whisper it in your heart. Maybe he'll give you a scripture, give you a word. Allow the Holy Spirit just to minister that to you right now. Would you take a moment and just write that down? Commit it to paper or to a note on your phone, your iPad, whatever you have, your smart device. Just write it down right now. You don't want to forget this. God's speaking to you right now. Don't lose it. If you have a faith-filled friend or a spouse, somebody next to you, would you just whisper in their ear right now and tell them, hey, God just spoke this to me. This has been my confession, but I'm going to change it to this. Just have some accountability right now. When you start to declare it, remember, we're changing our confession. Don't be ashamed. If it's been the wrong confession, hey, it's good for you to get the right confession out. And what a better place to start than in church with faith-filled people around you. So if you have a faith-filled friend with you, next to you, somebody that you trust, somebody that you know, maybe your spouse is with you, maybe they're not here, but you want to text them real quick. This is the only time texting is acceptable in church, all right? So go for it right now. Hey, God dealt with me about my confession. This is what I'm going to start saying. Will you hold me accountable to that? And just get an accountability partner, someone who can hold you to that. So that if they hear the wrong confession, right? You said you were going to say this. You say, yeah, you're right. All right, let's go. Right? Amen. Let's make a declaration tonight. Let's say these words out loud together. Will you trust me to lead you in a declaration? You guys want to stand and say it? Sometimes I like to stand and declare the word of God. Something about standing on the promises. If you have the ability, if you don't have the ability, it's about the heart. Stand up in your heart right now. Let's make a good confession over ourselves. Ready? Everybody say, I am. Blessed. I'm healthy. I'm growing in God's grace. I have the wisdom of God. I have the mind of Christ. I have the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit being produced in my life. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a winner, not a loser. And I have the Spirit of God and the life of God living in me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a praise tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.